The Big Story from the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
You're watching The Big Story with Dylan Ang. I'm Olivia Kui.
Around the world, COVID-19 has devastated economies and is threatening to fracture societies. Senior Minister Tharman Shanmugaratnam said that Singapore must not only avoid that, but build a more inclusive society post-COVID.
On the economy, Mr. Tharman said that Singapore's jobless rate would have shot up if the government had not acted decisively. So far, the figure is still around 3%, with less than 10,000 people losing their jobs.
The senior minister said if Singapore had seen the same spike in unemployment as in Hong Kong and Germany, as many as 70,000 people here would be out of work. Or worse, 250,000 becoming jobless if Singapore had the same rise in unemployment as the US.
Looking ahead, Mr. Tharman said an inclusive society has to last, and it's important that Singaporeans continue to work together, taking collective responsibility for each other.
We're happy to have correspondent Denson Cheong to take this story further. Denson, like PM Lee's Fullerton rally yesterday, Mr. Tharman made special mention of the youth to be collectively responsible and how they need to get involved in the community. Now, for young voters like yourself, your friends and some viewers watching right now, what are some issues that this group of voters most care about, and have candidates addressed them?
Well, Dylan, I think every election is important, but I think this one has special relevance. You know, we've just come out of this COVID-19, we're still in this COVID-19 period, but we'll come out of this 8-week circuit breaker. You know, it's been, for all of us, it's been a very disorienting experience. Working from home, we're constantly being told that life is not going to go back to normal. Mm. The pandemic has also surfaced all sorts of inequalities, you know, and fault lines in our society. You know, unlike you and I, people from maybe lower incomes, low-income backgrounds, you know, might not have the same resources, for example, for their kids to do home-based learning. So it's forced a lot of us to take a very introspective look at how Singapore is developing. You know, going into this election, I think these are some of the things that young voters are thinking about, you know, how Singapore can build a more just, fairer and more equitable society. But I think also just as many young voters are thinking about things like jobs, stability, you know, security, what you call bread and butter issues. Can their children grow up in a Singapore that you know, is prosperous and peaceful like the one today? And, you know, the PAP has cast this election as, you know, kind of COVID-19 crisis election. They're saying to voters, let us get through this, otherwise, you know, there's no Singapore society for us to even make. And I think SM Tharman, he talked about some of these things just now during his speech. He talked about how, for example, avoiding a surge in unemployment was the government's number one priority. And also other things like building a more inclusive society. On the other hand, you know, opposition parties, for example, the WP, have also put forward their proposals, you know, like a redundancy insurance, you know, reducing class sizes, and so on. So I think parties have recognised that these are some of the desires of voters, and they're sort of responding in step. Yeah.
Well, then, so let's move on to another group of voters, the moderate voters. About 40% of Singapore's electorate are middle ground voters. Broadly speaking, though, what are the demographics of the moderate voter, and what factors usually determine who they vote for?
I will sort of estimate that there are 30% of people who are quite staunch PAP supporters. Mm. And then on the other side, you have another 30% that are, you know, very pro-opposition. So it's the middle, this 40%, that I think parties are trying to woo and to attract. In my opinion, I don't think there's a strict demographic. By my experience of talking to people and all that, I think it tends to be sort of middle-aged and younger. These sort of tend to be people that educated, maybe not, you know, educated, you know, well-traveled. They know what's happening in the world, and they want to know what parties can offer them or what parties can give them. So they might also want a PAP a PAP government, but maybe not super dominant, and they might vote, you know, to vent frustration over certain policies. For example, you know, if we look at the general election in 2011, there was a lot of resentment and frustration over things like housing, transport, immigration. And the election, the Workers' Party won Aljunied GRC from the PAP. But, you know, on the other hand also, these are not voters that vote for the opposition blindly. So they look a lot at the credibility of the party and the quality of the candidates that they field.
Now, Denson, less than 2 days of hustings left. What do you think about the strategies of the various parties, you know, in reaching out to these on-the-fence voters?
In the past few days, we've really seen an effort to sort of reach out to these on-the-fence voters. Right. So yesterday, you know, during the virtual Fullerton rally, PM Lee, you know, he basically pointed to the to the PAP's track record and, you know, told voters, you know, if you really want a PAP government, please don't send confusing signals and vote for the PAP. You know, basically what he was saying is that, you know, this party has delivered and has, you know, brought Singapore to this stage, so continue to support them. Opposition parties also, I think they've made use of, you know, all the different platforms like e-rallies and Instagram and all these things to, you know, sell their policies, explain to voters, you know, their positions. I think one good thing that's come out of this COVID-19 election is that I think it's given voters a lot of opportunities to consider and think about, you know, where different parties stand on different issues and then make a considered choice. Mm. As for whether or not, you know, this will swing voters, I think we have to wait until polling day to find out. Like you said, you know, it's the last 2 days of the hustings. And, you know, as for me, I'll personally be watching very closely where senior party leaders go today and tomorrow, because I think that tells me where some of the toughest battles are going to be and where they think they can still influence these swing voters.
Well, you've just heard our correspondent at The Straits Times, Denson Cheong. Denson, thank you so much for coming on the show.